On this special morning, my favorite service of the year, I'm going to compare two Christmas stories. One is a Christmas classic, not a true story, but one that is well known, plan written by Charles Dickens. It's called The Christmas Carol. And many of you have seen it on TV over the years or seen it live, maybe in a Players Guild, or actually read the book. And I'm sure that that would encompass many of you today. The other story is what Christmas is all about. It's a true story, planned, written, and lived out by God Almighty. The real Christmas story. So two contrasting Christmas stories today. Again, one is the Christmas Carol, the main character being Ebenezer Scrooge. The other, the main character being Jesus Christ. God the Son, God the Creator, the only Savior, the one who was born to die and rise from the dead, Emmanuel, God with us, the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now to begin with those two stories before us, in the Christmas Carol, in a scene from Christmas past on Christmas Eve, Scrooge says to the spirit of Christmas past, "Remove me from this place," communicating this in a broken voice. The spirit of Christmas past said, "I told you these things were shadows of things that have been. They're what they are. Do not blame me." "Remove me," Scrooge exclaimed. "I cannot bear it." Scrooge turned, and seeing that the spirit looked upon him with a face in which in some strange way there was fragments of all the faces the spirit had shown him up to this point. And Scrooge wrestled with that. "Leave me," he said. "Take me back. Haunt me no longer." Now that dramatic scene comes when Scrooge is returned to his bed after a tour of Christmases from his past. And he could not bear the sorrow, the loneliness, the pain, and the heartache to which the spirit of Christmas past had reintroduced to him. For as a selfish old miser, alone in his old age, he had almost succeeded in forgetting his former years. That is, until his Christmas Eve dream reopened painful old wounds. And in that haunting tour, in that dream, Ebenezer saw the loneliness and bitterness of his younger years at a boarding school, left alone at Christmas when his friends went home to spend the holiday with their families. He then saw old Fezziwig, the kind businessman with whom he had apprenticed as a clerk. In fact, on Christmas Eve, Fezziwig turned his shop into a party place to celebrate and feast, dispensing gifts and cheer to all his employees, something Scrooge had never done for Bob Cratchit, his employee. And Scrooge heard Fezziwig's employees heaping praise upon their employer and was amazed at his ability to dispense such happiness to others. After that, Scrooge saw the tears and the broken heart of the young lady named Belle, over whom he chose a career in his love of money. For money was his first love over this young lady. And then he saw Belle later on in her life, happily married, with a loving husband and happy children, celebrating in their Christmas-filled home. And he realized that except for his own selfish choice years earlier, he might have been the head of that happy home. And it was this scene that was more than Scrooge could stand. It was then in his dream that he cried out to his spirit guide, "Remove me from this place. Remove me. I cannot bear it." Now, the question comes up at this point, what was it that Scrooge could not bear? Well, it's the same thing that you and I cannot bear apart from the saving grace of God. The memory, the guilt, the burden of our own sins and transgressions, past and present. For the Bible declares in Proverbs 13:15, the way of the transgressor is hard. And then in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, in the NIV, it says, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Scrooge was a wicked man, a man who knew no grace, no love, no generosity, and no service to others. His life was deep darkness. Why? His entire life revolved around himself. Therefore, misery was his life from morning until night. And in reality, in his meism without Christ, Scrooge, and understand this, is me. And Scrooge is you without Christ. Now, granted, Ebenezer Scrooge lived only in the imagination of his creator, Charles Dickens. But in the character he became on the pages of A Christmas Carol, is the character we all are in different ways in our human sinful nature before Christ. In the sight of our Creator who sees our hearts always, our pride, our selfishness, our anger, our adulterous thoughts, our covetousness, our love of things and money, to name a few. Now here's where the two Christmas stories start to separate, to part. In the Christmas Carol, Dickens wove a kind of humanistic works salvation thread into the fabric of his classic tale. For Scrooge repents of his self-centeredness and his love of money over people and becomes a reformed man, giving to the poor and helping Bob Cratchit and his son, his crippled son, Tiny Tim. So Scrooge began to do good works, and that is commendable. I love the story, and the story has a happy ending. We hear the words, God bless us, everyone, from Tiny Tim. However, no amount of good works can erase the guilt and stain of sin from our past. None at all. Why? Well, we need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ. And no amount of good works or even religious works can bring about the forgiveness of our sins and make us right with a God who is absolutely holy. We cannot earn or merit salvation from sin, and we do not deserve deliverance from sin and eternal hell. Why? Again, because our sin, which is rebellion against God's way revealed in God's Word, which is what? Wanting our way over God's way. Thinking that we have a better way in our pride. That's offensive to God, our holy Creator. It truly is cosmic treason. And with that said, folks, understand the beginning of the Christmas message really begins in the first verse of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God not only created the heavens and the earth, God also created you and me. We are God's image bearers. It says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And my point is, as human beings, we're not the result of random chance and genetic mutations, gene reassortments, and chromosomal accidents. We are created. And that brings both meaning and responsibility and accountability to us as human beings. For none of us is autonomous. And understand that fact is key in understanding the Christmas message. For despite people's talk of rights and liberty, We're not really as free as we would like to think. We are created, we are made, and therefore we are owned, and we are accountable before God Almighty. And because God created us, He has the right to tell us how to live. And He knows what is best for us. He is perfect and holy and without sin, and therefore gives us commandments that are best for us. And breaking those commandments is defined as sin in the Bible. 1 John 3:4 says, "Everyone who sins breaks God's law." In fact, sin is lawlessness. Again, 1 John 3:4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Now, all of us have broken God's law, God's commandments. For Romans 3:10 and 23 says, "There's nobody righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." In fact, it says in Psalm 143b, "For in your sight, God's sight, no man living is righteous or right with God on his own." Now, please understand that sin separates us from God, who is absolutely good again, perfect, righteous, holy, and without sin. And according to the Bible, sin is a lot more than just the violation of some impersonal, arbitrary, heavenly traffic regulation, or being Scrooge-like, or having a bah humbug attitude. Sin is breaking the breaking of a relationship, and even more. It is a rejection of God Himself, a repudiation of God's rule, God's care, God's authority, and God's right to command those to whom He gave light, gave life. And I might add, the one who sustains our lives each and every day that we have life. In short, it's the rebellion of the creature against the Creator. And the bad news is the wages of sin is death. Eternal death in hell, separated from a holy, righteous, pure, good God forever. Romans 6:23a. But, and here's the good news, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23b. So our need this morning is to see our desperate condition before God. We have sinned and we are separated from Him, alienated from Him, and need to be reconciled. We need redemption. And let me back up here for a moment in our comparison of the two Christmas stories. Spirit of Christmas Past took Scrooge on a tour that showed him why he needed change. And change he did, to a degree. Well, we need a revelatory biblical call experience to change, to understand our need for change, to see that we have missed the mark, that we have sinned. But we also need to see that we cannot erase our sinful past and present by ourselves. We need to be shown our need for a Savior, which is Jesus Christ. And like Scrooge, we have a guide to show us the way. But our guide is not an imaginary spirit. For we have the very real Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity of the Godhead, whose specific ministry in the world is to reveal our sin and our need of a Savior. That's one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit was sent into the world. It says in John 16:8, "And when He has come, the Spirit of God, He will reveal truth, He'll show people sin and their need of righteousness," in John 16:8. And the Holy Spirit's purpose in salvation is to draw us to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Please get this: to convict us of sin, to convince us that Jesus is the only God, the Savior, the door, the way, the truth, and the life, and to convert us, to save us by opening our hearts to Jesus Christ. He convicts us, He convinces, He converts. And while Dickens did not explain salvation and forgiveness to us in his Christmas story, God clearly explains it in his infallible, inerrant, inspired word, the Bible. And the Bible declares that at Bethlehem, more than 2,000 years ago, a Savior was born who came into the world not to reform us like Scrooge, but to forgive us. Not to make us better, but to make us new. And not to make us religious, but to make us righteous, right with a holy God. And the Bible's Christmas story is what separates Christianity from every other religion in the world. It's the story of God doing for mankind what we could never do for ourselves, to remove the burden and guilt of past, present, and future sins through His mercy and grace. And that's the good news. There is good news today. In fact, it's great news. God's Christmas story. God became man to save sinners. The Creator, Jesus Christ, became a part of His creation to die on an old rugged cross as our perfect substitute for sin and rose from the dead. The Infinite One became an infant. The Holy One became human. For God, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, hath made Jesus to be sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It says in Matthew 1:21, Jared quoted it early, and she shall bring forth a son, Mary, and you will call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He is the Savior. That's what the word Jesus actually means. In Luke 2:11, it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And dear friends, heaven's best, the Son of God, God the Son, the sinless perfect one, the promised Redeemer, came to forgive sinners. So there is hope on this special morning. There is good news in a world full of bad news. It's not bah humbug, but God so loved the world. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive in Christ. By grace you have been saved. And please get this. If we see our sin and our need for a Savior and turn from our sin and repent in faith to Jesus Christ, we will be saved from our sins. Saved from God's wrath, saved from hell, and saved from ourselves and our self-righteousness. The Bible declares in Acts 20:21, testifying both of the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 10:9, 10, and 13, it says, if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your hearts that God hath raised from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto that salvation. For whoever shall call on the name of the Lord, rich, poor, black, white, whomever, will be saved. Whoever. Please understand, faith and repentance is what mark out those who have been forgiven and are true Christians. In other words, a true Christian is one whom has turned away from his sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else to save us from our sins and coming judgment. You know, we live in a world where we're talking with people today about salvation in Christ. They think that they have to merit their salvation or be religious enough or good enough or work enough. But the Bible declares in Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. In fact, it says just a few verses later, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, those tremendous verses, for by grace are you saved through faith in Christ, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we cannot work to be made right with God. It is by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in the only Savior, Jesus Christ, alone. In wrap up, I want to ask every one of you today a question. Which Christmas story do you think holds the most promise for those who brought those brought face to face with their sin? The answer is obvious. God's Christmas story. And while Dickens' A Christmas Carol will remain a classic, and while it admirably points out the difference between selfishness and service, its spirit of Christmas past could not take Scrooge where he needed to go. For only the Holy Spirit of Christmas today can bring a sinner to Jesus Christ. And on this Sunday before Christmas 2021, if you identify with Scrooge, if you're trying to make amends for your own failings and shortcomings, your sins, turn to Jesus Christ, the only Savior, in repentant faith, and He will save you. That's great news today. Embrace the babe of Bethlehem who grew up to die on a cross for sinners, who came to save His people from their sins, who rose from the dead, as Aaron just sang at the end, to be declared the Son of God, God the Son, the only Redeemer. Receive the Savior, the true and best gift of Christmas, the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Let's pray together, please. We thank You, Lord, that in our desperation, in our sin, that You sent Your only begotten Son, God the Son, the Savior, the Lord Jesus, to die for sinners like me, and for sinners that will turn, Lord, in repentant faith to Christ, we know that You will save them. And Lord, our hearts are just so burdened today for anyone here today without the Savior. Lord, that You might open up their hearts and their eyes, that they would see that they need more than reformation and more than religion. They need a relationship with the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank You for the great message of clarity that we have at Christmas time, that the Savior was born of a virgin, that the sovereign became a servant to save people from their sins. Lord, I pray that You'll save people from their sins today in Your mercy and grace. And Lord, for those who know You, O Lord, may we worship You in a greater way, and may You be preeminent. Lord, we ask Your blessings upon the rest of this service. May Christ continue to be lifted up as He has already been lifted up, Lord, in the music and by Your grace through the message. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.